Our text for this seventh Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Paul's epistle to the Romans, the eighth chapter. And we will read verses 1 through 11 in that chapter. That's Romans 8, 1 through 11, where we read in the name of our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, once again, we do thank you for the hearing of your word. We pray, Father, that we actually hear it. Give us grace to believe it, Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. As I often say about this book, you can't read it in part. None of the biblical books can you read in part. People do that all the time. They make huge mistakes in interpreting those books. This book starts out in chapter 1 with understanding the complete fall of humanity. And Paul does that with great purpose, because as he moves to chapter 2, he says, "And who are you to judge somebody else?" He says very clearly in chapter 3, we're all in the same boat. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And he explains very clearly that now there is a righteousness that has been given that is apart from the law. He says that now saves us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. He goes on and he talks about Abraham, the promise that was given to Abraham in chapter 4. He then goes to chapter 5 and he talks about this whole aspect of how sin was passed down through Adam. And then he indicates, but righteousness and salvation has now been given to all people through Jesus Christ. Goes on and he says very clearly, does that mean that we should start sinning? No. In chapter 6, he says, no. He says, don't you realize you're baptized into Jesus Christ? You're joined to his death. He says, then how are you going to live? Well, you're going to live in newness of life. He says, does that mean you're going to be perfect? Chapter 7, he says, no. He says, as a matter of fact, he says, I still struggle. He says, I have this struggle, this ongoing struggle. And that's at the end of chapter 7. He says that now, I'm going to read this out of Greek. He says, for I delight in God's law with respect to the inner person. He says, but I see another law in my body parts doing battle with my mind's law and taking me captive to sin's law that's in my body parts. I myself am a miserable person. He says, who will rescue me from the body of this death? He says, now gratefulness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says, therefore then, I myself with my mind am enslaved to God's law, but with my flesh to sin's law. Then he says, now then, there's no judgment to death for those in Christ Jesus. No judgment to death. It's impossible. No person who is in Jesus Christ is subject to death. It's impossible. That's why Jesus told Martha, whoever believes in me will never die. Will never die. What part of never don't we get? Never. 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 It's time to get off that stupid treadmill. We're like a bunch of hamsters. Go around and around and around and around trying to figure out what to do with our sin. And we're so bleeding good at it that all we do is run to the water bottle like the hamster does because they get tired too. The reality of things is what Paul was talking about is to understand he knows the fullness of the fall of humanity. He's not masking it. He's not covering it. He's not covering up for sin. That's what people say all the time. You tell people about all this grace stuff, and they're going to mask their sin, or they're going to get away with sinning. God have mercy on us. I hate to tell you, you got away with every sin you've ever committed. You got away with every last one. And that's why Paul says that in Romans 6. Does that make you want to sin more? No. No, it doesn't. The grace of God doesn't make you want to sin more. The grace of God makes you sing. How marvelous, how wonderful. That's what it does. It changes everything. We wallow in our sin for absolutely no good reason. It isn't spiritual. It's antichrist. It works against the very work of Christ. Instead, Paul says very clearly, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. He says, and I still struggle with my sin. But he says, who's going to deliver me from this body of this death? He says, that's a done deal. It's already done. Jesus Christ already did that. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to death. For those who are in Christ Jesus, it can't happen. It cannot happen. And this is the point of the book of Romans. Chapter 8 is kind of the pinnacle of this, where he gets to this point and he says very clearly, I want you to realize this is what happened with Adam and Eve. The only thing that saved Adam and Eve was the grace of God. The only thing that saved all of these pagans as they had fallen into this false worship, the only thing that would ever save them was the grace of God. And the only thing that would save the Jewish people who had been bewitched by thinking that they could be saved by the law, the only thing that could save them was Jesus Christ. And he did the same for all of us. He put us all in precisely the same place so that we would understand and that we would know. And that's why he says, for the spirit of life's law in Christ Jesus set you free from sin and death's law. It set you free. Set you free. If you're free, then why act as though you're bound? Why sit there and play this game with your sins? Sit there and say, geez, I'm such a rotten person. Well, good for you. That's a great judgment that you arrived at. Yeah, that's what the scripture says. But now in Christ Jesus, you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You are holy and you are blameless in his sight. Why it's so easy to wallow in our sins and to forget the fact of God's grace and live as people who are full of grace. You don't have to be that child. I think it's Tuesdays. It's full of grace. You don't have to be that. You don't have to be born on a Tuesday. You can just be full of grace. And that's the whole point. The only thing that overcomes the sin of the world is not dwelling on sin. It's grace. It's grace. It's the pure, unadulterated gift of grace in Christ Jesus. And this is why Paul says this, you're free. And if you are free, he says, then you understand. The means of this freedom is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God is testifying to us that that's exactly what is true. And he says, because the law was powerless, it couldn't do anything. It couldn't do anything. You can tell a person, you know, you always see those mugs, you know, you gotta excuse me for this, but I think it's hilarious. You know, you see those coffee mugs, they say you can always tell a fin, you can't tell them much. And this is the sort of thing that you encounter, you know? You understand. You can tell people all you want. Hey, stop sinning. Knock that off. I have a son. Let me tell you how well that worked. I was a son. Let me tell you how well that worked. It is impossible to gain righteousness through the law. Now, you can modify behavior. You know, Dennis will tell you about speeding. Lee, they can talk to you about speeding. Speeding is a very interesting thing. Speed limit's 55. No, it's not. It's what the cop will let you get away with. Cop doesn't feel like getting out of the car? You're good to go. You know, training? Meh, I ain't getting out of that car. One cop told me that once, didn't he, Dennis? It's like... Fact of the matter is, we understand the law doesn't do anything. The law doesn't do anything. It's the enforcement of the law. It's only the enforcement of the law that can do anything. God didn't stop the people of Israel by telling them not to sin and by telling them not to be idolaters. As a matter of fact, they just became worse idolaters. And God told them all along, I told you it wasn't going to work that way. The only thing that would ever save you is I have to become you. I have to become human. I will fulfill the promise for you. And that promise will be my very own son. I'm going to give you my very own son. And my very own son is going to take every one of your sins. He's going to take every one of them, even the ones you don't even know yet. He's going to take every one of those sins. He's going to bring them to the cross of Calvary. And 2,000 years before we're even around, he's going to atone for every last one of them. His blood will ensure our forgiveness. And it is the most sure promise that has ever been given. And this is what Paul is talking about. He says, the law was weak. It was powerless. It couldn't do this because of the flesh. He says, seeing that, he says, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And concerning sin, and that's actually what this says. He says, concerning sin, he judged sin to death. Concerning sin, he judged sin to death in the flesh through Jesus Christ. He took away your sin. You betcha. That's Uber talk. But this is where you get to the point of understanding. He took away your sin. He took it away. Not because you think about it, or because you wallow in it, or because you meditate on your belly button. He took away your sin because he wanted to. Because he's just that gracious. He took it all away. And he said very clearly, I don't even remember it. I won't even remember your sin. I have no memory of it. The only thing that he knows, the only thing that he understands, as one of my professors at Concordia once said, what do you think God looks into every day? He sees his only son at his right side, who bears in his flesh the wounds. Do you think he thinks about our sin? No. He thinks about that beloved, wonderful Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, who atones for it, And that's the only way that God ever looks at us. It's the only way that he looks at humanity. It's through the finished work of Jesus. And that's why Paul says this. The law couldn't do it. We could have told each other all the time, stop that, stop that, stop that. But we're not going to stop it. Because it's weak according to the flesh. The only thing that could stop it was God becoming flesh. And he condemned sin. He brought sin into death, into the flesh, so that we'd be remembered no more. After the cross, it says very clearly, Paul says in Colossians, he blotted out our transgressions on the cross. He blotted them out. So they are not to be remembered. That's not what we are to dwell in. That's not what we are to be minded of. And he says they did this so that the just regulation of the law, what the law wanted us to have, he says, is fulfilled in us. He says, it's already been done. It's fulfilled in us. I can't break the speed limit. Now, I'm not talking about legitimately driving. I can't transgress because where there is no understanding, where there is no imputation, the scripture says, there is no transgression. Where there is no imputation, there is no transgression. If the cop decides to let you off, he lets you off. And you have a smile on your face. And you go down the road and you say, dodge that one. Because people forget cops are human too. God is the only true human being. Jesus is the only one. We were all fallen. Jesus is the only perfect human being. And Jesus chose to let us off. He chose to take our punishment. He chose to receive our judgment. And he freely forgives us. He declares us freely forgiven. And that's why Helmut Tielecki, famous theologian, he said very clearly, says the hardest thing for a human being to live with is forgiveness. Because that's the hardest thing for a human being to deal with is forgiveness. To simply deal with a God who says, like the guy who's got the 10,000 talent debt, and we can't even talk about money that size. 10,000 talents of silver at the time of Jesus, that's a ridiculous sum of money. It's just ridiculous. Even in a lifetime, a guy probably couldn't even amass that much debt. You need to think about that. And that's what Jesus says. He says, this guy's got 10,000 talents of silver in debt. And he comes to him and he says, you know, I don't know if I can repay it. And the guy just says, I forgave you all that debt. I forgive it all. I forgive it all. This is what Paul is talking about in Romans 8. Your debt is forgiven. It's forgiven. And he says, so live that way. Live like your debt is forgiven. Live and understand that. Have that smile on your face after the cop lets you go and keep that smile there. Because you've been forgiven. You're forgiven. You live your life forgiven. Every moment of your life, you are forgiven. You're forgiven. And you're going to be forgiven. And you're always going to be forgiven. Until the moment you don't need forgiving anymore. Because once the body of this death is gone, you won't need to be forgiven anymore. But as long as you're in the body of this death, we all constantly need that forgiveness. We need to constantly be told. We need to be constantly be made aware. And that's why St. Peter says that. I'm going to die soon, but he says, but I'm never going to let you off the hook. I'm going to tell you all the time. Every time I see you, every time I see you, I'm going to tell you very clearly, your sins have been forgiven. They're forgiven. Understand, you're a child of God. The price has been paid for you. Now, live, live, he says. The law has been fulfilled for us. This is the way it is. And we walk now according to the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, the one who's in the flesh can't do that. So if we're still walking around in the old junk, that means we're living according to the flesh, is what he's saying. He says, then you missed the point here. He says, you're still living in the flesh. If that's what's forming your mind's opinions, that's what actually this Greek word means. And he talks about this thing that minding the things of the flesh. It means if you're forming your opinions according to that way, he says, then you're still living according to the flesh. It doesn't matter how religious you are, and it doesn't matter how many times you run around and sing your little songs and do this sort of stuff like that. He says, if you're still dwelling in that mindset, you're still in the flesh. He says, in the flesh, he says, can't do the things of God. Its mind is death. He says, it's minded towards death. And you understand, that's why those commercials on TV work. Because we're scared of dying. Somebody tells us, you know, here you go. All you need to do is get a prescription for this. You know, now you won't die quite as fast. Because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a way out of death instead of living. Instead of living. And that's why Paul says this. He says, it's the flesh then that forms that mind's opinion, and that is death. But the Spirit's mind, he says, is life and peace. Are you at peace? Cool. Because that's really the key. Because if you're not at peace, then you're looking in the wrong place. The Spirit gives you life and gives you peace. Gives you peace. You know, Satchel Paige, famous pitcher, he once said, he says, don't turn back, he says, because somebody might be gaining on you. That's the way so many people live. Instead of understanding, God says you never need to look back. You never need to look back. And that's why Paul says, for this reason, the flesh's mind is enmity toward God, because it can't be subject to the law of God, no matter how you try to make it that. Says it can't be. He says, it doesn't have the power to be subject to it. He says, so the ones who are in the flesh have no power to please God. And then he says, but you're not in the flesh. He says, you're not in the flesh. He says, but in the Spirit, because God's Spirit lives in you. And that's what I say. Don't trust the mirror. You get up in the morning and look at the mirror and you think that's who you are. Nope. You'd be wrong. You're a child of God. The glory of God is in you. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. You are a new creature. And you, as a matter of fact, are eternal. Regardless of how gray your hair gets. You're eternal. You're meant to live. And that's what Paul is talking about. We need an adjustment in understanding this. He says, we aren't in the flesh, we're in the Spirit. Because God's Spirit lives in us. And he says, now, if someone doesn't have that Spirit, then that's different. He says, then that person isn't his. He's not saying that in a mean way. What he means by that is to understand. If you understand that you're in the Spirit and you know this, then how would you live any other way? He says, you can't go back into the flesh. You can't live that way. He says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead on account of sin. It's dead. I always tell my students, you know, next time you're at a funeral, go up and, you know, when you got to go view the body, see what it does. Hopefully it's not doing anything. Because it's dead. You know, that's what they're supposed to do. Nothing. They're dead. Paul says, you're dead. You know, Monty Python again. I'm not quite dead yet. You know. No, you're dead. You're dead. And you can't make yourself alive. You're dead. And this is why Paul says that. So if you're dead, can you worry about your sins? I don't think so. You're dead. If you're dead, can you worry about this, that, or the other thing? Can you do anything to fix it? The answer to that is no. No. Well, why not? Because I'm dead. And that's why Paul says that. He says, the body is dead on account of sin, but the spirit is alive. Your spirit is alive because God declared you just for Jesus' sake. He says, now, if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, if it lives in you, if that spirit is alive in you, and he makes you to be alive, he says, then he who raised Christ from the dead will make alive even your subject to death body, even your mortal body. He'll make that alive. He'll make that alive so that now you can live. You can live in the here and now. He says, the Spirit will make that body alive because of the Spirit who lives in you. I don't even know how to put this any better. I couldn't even put this into words any better. I could never give you a better explanation than simply reading this. And that's why Luther made his kids memorize Romans, you know? And every one of you should memorize Romans.
We're starting that, Jay.
Bonus. And understand very clearly, this is what he's talking about. This is the result of all of this. Human beings fell. God raised them up, and he saved them forever through the blood of Jesus Christ. He took away all of their sin so that we would live. That's all he wants us to do is live. He wants us to live, to live, to live abundantly, to live at peace, to live, to live, to live, and to not live in fear. Fear all the time. Fear this, fear that, fear this thing, fear that. Bah! It's nonsense. The very creator of the universe has given you his spirit to dwell within you. What is there to fear? If the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity, then what is there in sin that we need to remember? And that would be nothing.
And it's forgiven.
Because it's forgiven. That marvelous, glorious, pretty word. It's forgiven. Live forgiven. You may not know how to do it, but the Spirit of God is in you doing it. Live forgiven. Live forgiven. And today when we celebrate the sacrament, you come up here with joy in your heart. You come up here and you receive that gift. You receive his gift. He forgives you. He forgives you. You believe all your sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. You be at peace. You find rest for your soul. And you live. You live out this day, and you live out every day. Just like when the cop lets you go. Have that big smile on your face. because you've been shown grace. And we are saved by grace. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, there is no one like you. No one. No one even comes close. Our thoughts, even as we heard in the scripture, cannot match yours. Our ways cannot match yours. Yours are so much greater and higher than ours, it's not even funny. And this is your way. You chose to be gracious. You chose to forgive. You chose to do so, and you did so at the great cost of the suffering, death, the blood of your Son. And through his resurrection, you raised us up to newness of life. And Father, we pray that we do not dishonor him by not living that life, by being so fearful that we shrink away from everything in fear of contamination. Instead of understanding the power that is within us through your Spirit to overcome every contamination and to bless the world with the gospel. We pray, Father, that you would grant us that unction, that so we would live in this life by the grace of your gospel, and so share that with everyone around us, that you would receive the glory due your name. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.